Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. And Piedmont Medical Network, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. So our guest for the day, Mr. John Warden, he is a sick puppy. He called me a little earlier. I said, don't worry about it. Get well. I bet you I can find a couple of guys who would like to talk about something. And I reached down into our magic bag of tricks. And what did I pull out but Tyler Cupp and Chris Miller, who are sitting here playing texting games with each other. And we're about ready to talk about football of all kinds of things. Because we're into it now, right?
We are into it. Yeah. Good afternoon, Manny. Yeah, we're actually talking about football. That's all I was showing them, graphic, football related.
Okay. Now, we have a tradition on this program, because even though you think everybody knows who you are, probably half the people here don't really know who you are. So I want you to take a Cliff Notes version. You know, I don't want 30 minutes. I don't want academia stuff. I want, 30, 60 seconds. Tell everybody a little bit about Chris Miller.
Tyler, go. Me go first. I can go first. Yeah. So, born and raised here in Rock Hill. Went to Northwestern High School. Then I spent some time at Winthrop. Went 4 years at Winthrop and some alma mater, and then spent some time in Columbia. Spent some time in Greenville and Fayetteville and radio broadcasting, and came back here. 2009. I started doing high school football when I was in high school in 1998, and have been calling games and have moved up, done more and more games since then, and call high school football, basketball, and then on Saturdays have an opportunity to serve as the network host on the statewide Gamecock Radio Network.
Very nice. All right, Tyler, you're up, buddy.
I'm Tyler Cupp. I was born in the great state of West by God, Virginia.
West by
moved
God,
to South
Virginia.
Carolina when I was 11 years old, been here ever since. Went to Lugolf Elgin High School, been in radio for, I guess, since I was 17 years old, and moved to Rock Hill in 2019. My first day on the job was Boo-ha-ha 2019. That was my first day here on the job, so I got to see everything. I call a lot of sports, football, basketball, do a little bit of stuff on the side for Sinclair TV and the South Carolina High School League, and enjoy every bit of it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Have you ever worked for a station that did as much in high school football as OTS Media?
Well, there's not a station in the state that has as many teams as we do, that covers them all like we do. So the short answer is no. A lot of stations cover high school football, but to have, anywhere from 6 to 7 games every Friday night, the answer is no. It's not possible. none of those exist.
And if it hadn't been for technology, we wouldn't be able to do all those games at one time. I mean, we have as many as, 7 or 8 on some nights?
I think most nights we have 6. We've had a few times we've had 7. But you look at in weeks, with Thursday and then sometimes Saturday games, we could do 8 games potentially, especially this year with Clover and Lake Wylie sharing the stadium. We're going to have probably 3 or 4 weeks where we have Thursday night. We had a Thursday night game this past week due to weather. We picked up the York game. Tyler and Chet went over to York and Westwood.
And then, of course, Northwestern decided to move their game because they had a good crowd.
Great crowd. I mean, we end up having three nights of high school football. We thought we had an opening night, right? And then we end up having 3, a game on Thursday, 4 on Friday, and then a game on Saturday.
The game on Saturday. I sat down at the beach and listened to every word you guys had to say. I couldn't believe the talent that this Huff team had. I mean, that basically was a college football team. But they were coached. I mean, all the mistakes they were making. I'm surprised that, I suppose if they didn't have the size players that they had, we could have had a chance to beat them. But
I think they still did. You look at they lost 15-10. Northwestern has the ball inside the Huff 20 with 2 minutes to go. I mean, if they had a touchdown call back off a penalty,
yeah,
and it was an illegal man downfield, a penalty that had nothing really to do with the actual touchdown itself. So, you know, but again, Huff let Northwestern hang around. Northwestern blocked a punt. They blocked a field goal. Huff had 14 penalties. 12 of those were pre-snap penalties, which pre-snap penalties, you know what that tells you? That tells you terrible coaching.
Yeah.
They had five different occasions they lined up to go for it on fourth down, but they had a pre-snap penalty, went back 5 yards, had to punt. So, I mean, it was pretty poor coaching.
And what was this? I heard you talk about the quarterback being the kicker. Why is the quarterback the kicker?
So, for Northwestern, you're talking about Northwestern's quarterback also punts. That's been a staple at Northwestern since Kyle Richardson was there.
I don't remember Mason Rudolph kicking.
Oh, he did. Not only that, but he was an all-region punter and an all-state punter his senior year. Yeah, he was the all-state punter his senior year. And the reason Northwestern's done that is because you never see Northwestern getting punts returned for scores against them, because you can't set up. You have to run punt safe every time from a defensive standpoint, because at any point, if you got the quarterback back there, he can run the offense. And if Northwestern, if you watch them, their gunners are their starting wide receivers. So those are the guys going out to make tackles. So nobody ever returns the ball against them because they're concerned Northwestern might fake it and get a first down. So it's a way, and their quarterbacks normally can punt the ball pretty good.
All right, Tyler, so here we are for the 2026 season.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we should be paying close attention to as we start to unfold the season? We're through, what do you call it, week zero? We
week
still
one
week?
This year.
Ah,
they
great.
Did away with week zero.
Thank God.
It's history.
Yeah.
Thank God. I never understood that. Never mind. I don't want to get into it. I don't want the explanation. I'm like, okay, so we're through with week one.
I think just in York County, there's a ton of storylines. I know that the boys on the end zone talked all about the separation of Clover and Lake Wiley. You got a new school up there.
Lake Wiley goes out there and wins their first game.
Won their first game. There's not one senior on that team. They came all the way back from 20 points down on the road, and they beat Ballantyne Ridge. Great story for them. But I think it has to start in Football City USA. You've got two defending state champions in South Point and Northwestern. Can they defend and get back to the state championship game, even though with the realignment in the high school league, the divisions are much different? I personally think 4A is way tougher. I think 5A is slightly tougher. You know, the last couple of years, Northwestern and Dutch Fork would not have had an opportunity to meet each other. One's been in Division I, one's been in Division II. Well, now it's combined. So if Northwestern and Dutch Fork are going to make the state championship, chances are they're going to have to go through each other.
Ooh.
And I think a storyline that people need to follow was one of the bigger wins in the state, and that was Rock Hill knocking off Irmo.
Oh, yeah?
Rock Hill is a team on the rise. I've had multiple media members and coaches just text me in the last month saying, hey, is Rock Hill real? Are they the real deal? And it was a big one for Rock Hill. I will say Irmo slightly down from the years past where they made the state title game, but to go on the road, and that was a hostile environment, that was more fans than I expected to show up for week one for Irmo. That was a really landmark win for the Rock Hill Bearcats and Leon Bulwer's second year. A lot of new players, some familiar names from South Point, some familiar names from other schools in the Charlotte area, but Rock Hill had a lot of returners from last year, a 7-5 team. Bearcats looked really good on Friday.
How about you, Chris? Any interesting storylines?
You know, I could repeat what Tyler said. I agree with everything you said. I look maybe to Fort Mill. You look at the town of Fort Mill, what you've got, the Yellow Jackets. I was very impressed with what Coach McNeely and his squad did, beating Clover 28-7 on Friday night. We're going to find out how legitimate is Fort Mill. They're going to face Catawba Ridge this Friday night in a matchup of two Milltown schools. Both are 1-0. Both had big victories last week. Fort Mill's offense is very strong. Catawba Ridge showed a really good defense. So, the Yellow Jackets had a hot start to the year last year and then were extremely competitive in their region games. So can they take those next steps this year? They've got a very talented offensive play caller. So I'm keeping my – in addition to the things Tyler said, you know, with Northwestern, South Point, Rock Hill, the situation at Lake Wiley, how does Fort Mill look this year? Jake Bentley, a nation forward in his second year, what's that going to look like? He's an offensive guru. Then you have Zach Lindak over there at Catawba Ridge, who – I had a chance to call their game on Friday night when they played Blythewood and was really impressed with their defense. It was a very strong defensive effort by his squad, really only allowed one score, pitched a shutout in the second half. They had some struggles on offense, some things to work out, but defensively, Catawba Ridge looks pretty good.
Very interesting. Now, explain for people out there who don't understand this word realignment. What is it, and why do we do it?
So I guess the Cliff Notes version of this is when you have growth across the state, programs in schools have to basically manage that to find a competitive balance,
uh-huh.
right? So, and you'll have schools drop in population, but you have a lot of schools that grow in population. And for that, they want to have a competitive balance. So you know, the high school league has to set a certain enrollment number for 5A, 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A. Now, it doesn't necessarily involve the amount of athletes that you have. It's the enrollment of your school.
So what is a 5A school? How many kids?
There's no set number. What it is, they just put the top schools, you know. So I think 5A is typically the top, like, 48. Mm-hmm. Then the next 48
top
are...
Top 48 in enrollment, yeah.
Yeah, top right. 48 in enrollment, right. Then the next 48, and the next 48. Now, sometimes that will change. It may 5A, for example, this year, I'm not sure, but it may be the top 52. Because they do that when they put this map together, they say, okay, well, can we make regions?
Correct.
Can we, and by regions, it's so a school, let's say Northwestern, let's use them, they're not having to travel to Sumter for a region game. Because it's not just football. This affects basketball, baseball, golf, cross country, tennis, softball, wrestling. It affects everything. So the focus gets put on football. Making a trip to Sumter on a Friday night, it's not a terrible thing, especially when you're only playing 10 games, right? You would only have 5 road games. But when you're playing basketball and you have to go down to Sumter on a Tuesday night for a game that tips off at 8 o'clock,
You're
not getting home till close to, you know, 12:30 or so at night. Football is a different thing. So that's the thing people get caught. Oh, no, it's a lot of it's based on the sports besides football that are playing their games on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And then you have those schools that are kind of on the line that end up appealing to get to a certain classification. They want to either drop down or go up. We had a case with a school in our area in Indian Land, had a very strong case, I thought, in my opinion, where they wanted to drop down from 5A to 4A, and the biggest reason for that was the travel. The infrastructure around them, they were going to have to go from their school to the Columbia schools, and it was going to take anywhere from an hour and a half to maybe longer on a school bus, whereas if they were dropped down to 4A, they were right near the line, right around the Mendoza, as some of the media calls it. They were going to be in a region with all the York County schools, and that's what they wanted. They said, hey, it's shorter for us to travel to Fort Mill, Catawba Ridge, York, South Point, instead of us going to a Dreer, a Richland Northeast, you know, getting on I-77 to Columbia. But think about 521 and how they didn't pass that bond referendum or the referendum to get roads. Think about how they didn't pass that. So now traffic is a major, major concern, and it takes longer for them to get places. So they won their appeal. It was a good, strong case. And now they're in the region with all the York County schools.
Well, it makes sense. But then the other side of that coin is Indian Land is a big school.
It is.
A big school. They got a lot more talent to draw from.
That excuse may not work in 2 years when they realign again. It may not work. Because they're going to get even larger.
So this happens every couple of years.
Yeah, every 2 years.
Every 2 years, yep.
Jeez. Now, are there any rule changes that the high school league has put in that is going to, in your opinion, dramatically change the style of the game?
There is one rule that I think fans sometimes don't understand, and it came into effect last year, is it's the running clock rule. This was put into effect a couple years ago, and once a team gets a lead by 42 points in the second half, it's an automatic running clock. So that happens no matter what. Now, there are circumstances where an opposing coach could go and ask for a running clock, but they do that. It's, in a sense, a mercy rule. They put that into effect for basketball as well this past season. But for football, that's the rule. Once a team gets a 42-point lead, the mercy rule, if you will, running clock goes into effect. And the clock would only stop for timeouts, scoring plays, or injuries.
Even if that lead shrunk?
Even if it shrinks, yeah. You know, once it's why if you – some folks may remember last year in the state championship, Northwestern had a 43-point lead over Irmo at halftime. And we kept talking, Matt and I, about how big of a deal this was because game's over at that point. I mean, unless Northwestern just didn't show up for the second half, Irmo just would not have had enough time to score the points necessary to come back. Northwestern could have essentially took a knee every time they got the ball. And because with a clock running like that, you know, every possession's 4 minutes, right? So you just on a 12-minute clock each half quarter, you don't have time. So even if a team comes back, Irmo could have gotten back and got it to 3 points. Clock would have still continued to run.
Interesting. All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, relax here with Founders, and by Caporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. Our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. They're here with us every day of the week. And, of course, we're here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. What we do here is we feed people who like football, right? Whether they're a player or a fan, whatever it is. And how we do it, fresh subs and salads, it's still done this way. And at the count of three, we're going to enlighten you. Ready? Here's the play. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice.
Garden, garden, garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Founders can help you stop worrying about high interest credit cards and loans. Now through September 30th, well-qualified borrowers can take advantage of a balance transfer at 0% APR for 12 months. Pause the interest on your high-rate balances. Upon expiration, APR will then revert to the standard variable APR, currently 12.5% to 17.9%. If credit criteria are not met, 17.9% APR will apply. Visit foundersfcu.com/cc. Terms and conditions apply. Membership qualification required.
Looking for internet that actually keeps up with your business? With Caporium Business Class Internet, you get the speed and reliability to make your workday easier. 400 meg up to 5 gig in select areas. Whether it's video calls, file sharing, or cloud access, you'll stay connected and protected with local support ready when you need it. Big or small, your business deserves internet that works as hard as you do. Caporium Business Class Internet. Fast, reliable, local. Visit business.caporium.com/internet or call 844-317-2537 to get started today.
There are very few genuine money managers in America, and one just happens to be your neighbor. If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see what a money manager can do for you. Anderson Griggs, 324-5044, or go online to andersongriggs.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Chris Miller and Tyler Cupper with us today. These are two voices that you hear a lot on the OTS Sports Network and throughout the week on our various radio stations. You know, I don't think any of us really appreciates what it takes to get ready to do a high school football game. I mean, just, you know, I think of my wife. You know, she's not really a big sports person, and she doesn't understand what prep is necessary to understand all these players on both sides of the ball, the teams, their history, all that kind of stuff. So take me through a typical scenario in terms of a game that you're prepping for this week. Go ahead, Tyler. Start off.
I think for me, you get more prep as you get deeper into the season and into the playoffs. You know, for week one, a lot of the OTS sports broadcasters are all KG veterans, if you will.
And KG?
KG. KG veterans,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, KG.
Yeah. But a lot of times at week one, week two, you'll have a roster. You'll have an idea who the starters are, returners from the year prior.
Right.
You might talk to some media. You might talk to some coaches. But for the most part, the coaches are still figuring out their team, too. But as you get deeper into the season, you'll get, you know, college commitments. Like, for instance, Chris, in his game with Northwestern, had a ton of college commitments.
Oh,
I think
goodness.
I had five on one side with Irmo, So that was a lot to kind of keep up with who's going where. There was a young man going to the University of Miami and Alabama and South Carolina. So you definitely want to get that. Storylines, if you want to know what both coaches are talking, their relationship. Maybe there was a connection on down the line with their staffs. You know, there's a lot of stuff you can look into as we kind of call filler. Because you never know if the game might get out of hand. You need some stuff to fill
time.
So where
are you getting all this stuff, all this info from?
You talk to coaches. You talk to media. You know, I've certainly helped out the OTS guys. We all help each other out. If we know one team better than the other, we'll get some notes. Like John Turner might give me a call or send me a text. Brown will do the same. You know, if we go into a game calling Fort Mill NAFO, they see those teams a lot more than me and Chris.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll help us with some notes. And as for me personally, as I get deeper into the season and players accumulate more stats, I'll make like a little chart. And the chart for me helps me with the names. It puts the stats of what they've done so far, amount of catches, amount of touchdowns, you know, stuff like that.
So I see when I peek into the broadcast booth, and believe me, I don't know anything about what you guys do. They don't let me get near a microphone during sportscast. But you all have these charts,
yep,
that are all numbered, you know, different colors for different teams. And under each one of those numbers is some tidbits of information.
Yep.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. I do mine on a little manila folder. Chris and Chet have a little more fancier system than I do. They do the laminated roster, and they have the college commitments and the logos. You know, I'm a little more old school, but we all have our own ways of doing it.
So I have a ability to, when I see something, can recall very well. So what I do is I put a lot of pictures, and it helps me recall, okay, I have Xavier Means committed East Carolina, and that just triggers stuff in my mind to say things about certain players. If I get caught up typing as much, then I end up reading. So I try to get myself the Cliff Notes version, study about the players and have that information, and that's something I do. But one of the biggest things we do as well is we set up our own equipment. You know, some of these folks, you got University of South Carolina, for example, Carolina Panthers, they have people to handle their equipment. We set up our own equipment. We get there, gosh, for a 7:30 kickoff. We're there probably 5:30, 5:45 at the latest, going through, testing, make sure the lines are good, everything's connected, sounds good, the levels are good. Because, you know, we got to make sure our mic, our color analyst mics, then we got to make sure we're getting good audio from the crowd, getting that ambient noise. So that's a process. And get
ready for the unexpected.
Yeah.
Right.
Boom. When something doesn't work.
And I'm going to throw this out, too. Some of the OTS sportscasters are different than others, and we all have our own ways. But some like to go down on the field and talk to the coaches.
I always do.
Yeah. And some don't, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm not calling any names, but there are some coaches that are a little more locked in the zone and may not be as talkative, but others are. And you can learn a lot and take that into your broadcast when you turn on the lights and go on air.
And I think one of the things about our broadcasters is everyone's got such good relationships with the coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, when it comes to covering high school athletics, we're it. You get out on the field and they look for us. I'll give you an example. So this past Saturday, I was talking to Coach Wofford, Northwestern State coach, for the game. I was like, hey, you don't have to wait around for me for an interview because we don't have the end zone. Because typically we get the end zone. He said, oh, okay. He said, well, what if I want to do an interview? I was like, I can come. He said, nah, we're good. No lie. As we're signing off the broadcast, my son, John Parker, does some spotting for stuff. He says, hey, Coach Watt, he calls him Paige. Hey, Paige wants you to go down there for an interview. I said, okay. I was like, how do you know that? He goes, he radioed up to his coordinator in the booth to tell me that. And I said, okay, all right, cool. So I went down there because he just wanted to talk about the game. He knew we didn't have an end zone, but I think it's somewhat almost therapy for some of these coaches, or an opportunity to brag when they win or if they lose. It's therapy to just be able to talk through it with us. And they've got this relationships with each of us individually and as a group where they really feel comfortable saying stuff.
And you know, there's not only the prep you do to call the game, you all are also doing pregame interviews with all these coaches.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then when the game is over with, you're hustling your butt down to the field to gather some more interviews that are part of the end zone program. Mm-hmm. And if you have not heard of the end zone program, trust me, you have missed something. That's good 2 hours summing up all these games, interviews with all the coaches, highlights that we play back. I don't know how they do that, but they do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very interesting. It's a good, fast-paced 2 hour program.
Well, I'll give a plug for our Wednesday night show, The Red Zone, that myself and Tyler and Matt Hires do. You know, it's been 3 of the last 4 or 5 years, it's been the top sports radio show in the state, including the last 2 years. And it's a – you talk about fast-paced. We – myself, Tyler, and Matt. I mean, getting Matt and Tyler together, it's like a fountain of information, right? I just sit,
oh, yeah. And you're the quiet one? Get out of here.
I kind of just sit there and ask the questions. I'm kind of like the point guard. That they're the big scorers. But, no, we talk through the games. We review the games. We preview the games. Plus, we hear from the coaches. We typically will have words, interviews with three or four coaches, and we bounce around. You know, one week it might be Rock Hill, the next week it might be Indianland, then it might be York, and we get different aspects of that on there, and we'll break down games. We'll, you know, bounce around the state. Then we'll give previews of what we think is going to happen on that Friday night. It's a great show. I mean, it's only an hour. We've got it on Interstate 107. We also have it on CN2. Can watch us, believe it or not, if you want to see our smiling faces, we're there. And then we've got it on YouTube and Facebook Live as well.
Well, you know, to cap all this off, I mean, we publish a radio listener guide every year. This is the 25th anniversary edition.
Yeah.
It has all this, all these tidbits in writing, all the schedules for high school, for college, for pro. They're all in there. But, you know, none of this would happen if we didn't have a community that just loved football.
Yeah.
I mean, in this community, when they say, this is Football City USA, and I'm going to get you to tell that story, how that came up.
Yeah.
But when they say this is Football City USA, it's because we do all this stuff, but we could do more. I mean, the people, they just want more.
Yeah, they want more. You're right. That listener guide is something. We start getting phone calls at the radio station mid-July. Hey, when's it going to be available? We're like, we're not even finished putting it together yet. Like, let's pump the brakes. And, you know, they are available now. You can pick them up at, you know, your high school football game on Friday night. But you talk about that term, Football City USA, and how it came to be. It's a great story. So Gene Knight, who was one of our Wall of Fame sportscasters, is retired for many, many years. Between us and what he did in York, he did almost 600 games on the radio during his career, which is pretty incredible. But he had a great relationship with the late Barry Byers, and the two of them were at –
Barry Byers was a sports writer.
Sports, legendary sports writer for the Herald newspaper. Sorry.
You remember that, the Herald?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just wondering. Go ahead.
So he was the two of them were sitting – in Death Valley, when Northwestern and South Point played in the state championship in 2008. And they looked out there and said, wow, you had Stephon Gilmore, Jadeveon Clowney, Devontae Holloman, Gerald G. Dixon on one side. Across the way was Justin Worley, was Robert Joseph, was Gerald Dixon, was Rod Byers. And they were just talking about, man, there is so much talent out here. And then the story's legendary. I don't know who said it first. One of them said, it's like Green Bay has Title Town, you know, meaning comparing it to Green Bay with their term. He said, well, no, it's like Football City. And so we started using it on the air the next year or so. The Herald started using it in their write-ups. And then Chris Lowe, who's from Rock Hill, caught on to it, wrote an article for ESPN.com, and that's when it took off at that point. So it was birthed actually on the airwaves of an interview between Gene Knight, who was interviewing Barry Byers at halftime of that game, and in their conversation it came out. We started using, the Herald started using it, then it went nationally when ESPN.com picked it up.
And has it not been memorialized by the state legislature?
Yes, absolutely, yep.
Yeah.
We got a resolution.
Yep, it's a resolution. This is Football City USA. And the where that term comes from, really, it's if you look at Rock Hill per capita, the city of Rock Hill per capita has more NFL players than any other city in the country.
Yeah.
And it's not even close. And for, I think it's for every 7,000, no, it's less than that. It's like every 4,000 residents, there's an NFL player.
That's crazy.
That is coming.
That's wild.
It's something, and that number may be even lower now because the latest number I saw is NFL players. There's like been, I think, 47. So that put it, if there's 80, that's one out of every like 1,800.
And if you don't believe us, all you have to do is go check the York County Sports Hall of Fame. Or you can go to the YMCA and see all the jerseys up there on the wall.
And there's quite a few guys who played in the NFL from the city of Rock Hill that are not even in the York County Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler, thank you very much. Chris, thank you very much. And keep up the good work. And, of course, we'll be right back at it again this week as high school football 2026 is underway on the OTS Sports Network. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Comporium, making life easier. That's why we're here. Okay, let's see why you're here. You're here for one reason. You're here to have a fresh sub or salad, and you're going to do it 6 days a week between 9 in the morning and 10 o'clock at night. No, that's not right. 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. So how you going to get it is in the white letters. Let's bellow it out together at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice.
Garden.
There you go. One wisecracker in every group. Okay. That's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.